Talk Show. Recorded live.
Hello, I'm George Takei, and I don't always drink urine, but when I do, I prefer Dos Lindstedts. You're listening to Pastor Lindstedt's The Movement Turd.
Is not the Hal Turner Show. Hal Turner is a quarter Jew Masoning who went ahead and got caught zogbonding. And so he went to a federal prison and he got his asshole reamed out by niggers. Now he's in a halfway house and probably still get his asshole reamed out by niggers. No, this is not the fucking Hal Turner Show. Nor is this the Peerless Good Manzer Show, Radio Free Nimtardation. We don't have retarded Manzer and Jew Boy and Wigger Faggots like the intern or the Reverend Boa Cocksucker. Nor is this the Finkel Sheedy Show. We don't have Judah Brown Mamsers from Mentor and Rabbi Finkel Sheedy, the Joyzy Shitty Spit Killer, going ahead and reading some Wikipedia articles about Hitler and going ahead and practicing papist preterism. Nor is this the Rabbi Elier Show, where you have a Chicago Shepardy Jew Boy, formerly known as Joseph Stalin, Cuss November, yappy shit. No, this is the Movement Turd, and also known as the Dick Dick Show. And your host is Pastor Martin Luther Dierzynski Lindstedt. And if you want to call in, and if you dare, call in. Hail victory, folks.
Greetings, Zogling Warrior, Manzer Ass Clowns, Cross Food, and Zog Plane here in the open air Coast Nut House. We call Zog Babylon third and final, but this show is always the same. The lost found sheep of the house of Israel, ye chosen seed of Israel's race, ye who did hear Christ call. I was having a conversation on Gab with Chris313 and a few others. So, hey, I haven't posted the show, haven't done anything. I was working on essentially planting some seeds and getting my garden stuff done until about 9:30, and then add feed rocks and do a number of other things here. So, in case, what I'm going to do is just simply, start the show early. Someone asked me why Logan Hunter didn't have a show. Well, the answer is Logan Hunter didn't call in to arrange the show when I went in and called him. So, if he's not going to go ahead and want to start a show, I'm not going to go ahead and chase after him and force him to do a show he doesn't want to do. Anyway, looks like Bradifer finally went ahead and posted after another week, and I'm, giving him a hard time because you have a big old blog that's famous. This is famous here, and here you are getting your ass whooped on Gab. I mean, this just goes to show that Bradford is none too smart, right?
When you find yourself in danger, when you're threatened by a stranger, when it looks like you will take a licking, there is someone waiting who will hurry up and rescue you.
Call out for Super Ficken.
But if you're afraid, you'll have to overlook it.
Besides, you knew the job was fucked up when you took it.
He will drink his super sauce and don't
abandon us
for a loss, and he will bring the
kid
alive and kick it. There was one thing you should learn when there was no one else who
could. Call out for Super Dickin'.
Call out for Super Ficken. As an aside, on this show, we have Chris313 from Detroit, Elizabeth from Michigan, and you have Denise Assault from, I think, Pennsylvania, calling in to this show. Hail Victory.
Yeah, no, he's not.
Well, I mean, he's always acted like, you know, he's always acted like a tard the entire time. Of course, you know, being a tard, you know, usually I found out is that sometimes the only people who have anything on the ball are infiltrating police, trying to go ahead and keep an eye on you. That's, you know, that's about the only ones who do seem to have a lot of stuff on the ball in our bowel movement. So, in any case, well, I guess he did. He posted something about Caravan of Truth finally arrives at the U.S. border. I think I went ahead and told him is that instead of doing that, he could go ahead and post about 4 Gab posts and then have a regular post on Occidental Dissent where more people will see it, you know, and comment on it or do whatever. And, oh, there's this character named William Fink, and the character is a Jew from New Jersey. He, as a pig, he went ahead and murdered a Puerto Rican sneak thief back in 1989. He went to prison, and now he's claiming to be a Christian identity pastor. He's associated with a whole bunch of bad people, and I was pretty well putting that stuff up here in the one where he's fighting about weed, but... I never understood why, once you know that someone's a Jew, or an informant, or, you know, some critter which does not belong, why you have to go ahead and argue and fight and piss and moan with the critter. What you do is you just simply just cut them off right then and there. That's it. And Brad doesn't seem to understand that. And you were talking on, you know, someone was talking on the chat room, where they got in trouble for, you know, questioning how the Council of Conservative Citizens did things. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I wasn't familiar with the background on the Council of Conservative Citizens. Denise was more familiar with that. But, yeah, Liz, I guess, made a comment about the way Gordon Baum was running it, and he just, you know, arbitrarily IP banned her for that.
Well, you have somebody else from Michigan calling in. I'm trying to unmute them. Or well, maybe
yeah, that's probably her.
Hey.
Hello. Hello, Michigan.
Hi, this is Liz from Gab.
Okay.
I'm Goy Goddess. How are you?
All righty. Well, I'm not in jail or in a nut house, so hey, I'm doing just fine. You know what I mean? I mean, I know where I'm going to speak to. You know what I mean? I've been locked up in jail, and I've been locked up in
that
house.
I read about your story. I think that's absolutely terrible, and especially, I mean, my dad's a psychiatrist, and so I feel every time I hear about somebody like unjustly persecuted by the psychiatric system, I feel so terribly because it's so horrible, like, you know, what you've been through, and terrible.
In actuality, I really got treated a lot less. I mean, they had this nigger psychiatrist, Alicia Thompson, and her nigger psychiatrist buddy, Marbling French.
Right.
Essentially,
right.
They treated me with 2, then 3 milligrams of risperidol, which was
right. That's so terrible to hear.
I got sent in for something called psychiatric disorder, not otherwise specified, which means that supposedly some psychiatrist wants to put you in the nut house. You know, if you're not schizoid, you're not, you know, you're not delusional, you're not this here. He goes ahead, he rubber stamps, and you get sent to a nut house. And I was kind of laughed here because here was this, well, the character I think was a homosexual pervert.
Right.
And one of the psychiatric you know, age was harassing him. So I says, hey, you got $120? Why don't we go ahead and see if we can't, you know, start some paperwork to send old Heather, who's bothering you, send Heather to stay with us at the nut house. You know what I mean? Let's just go ahead and start a psychiatric, complaint under, and I used to remember the thing here, to send Heather to the nut house. You know, to essentially join us, not as an aide, but as an inmate.
Right.
Yeah, so anyway, old Heather got word of that. She sort of dialed down being a bitch. You know what I mean? But
I think one of the problems is that most of in this, I know that especially in the state institutions, the psychiatrists that they hire will be like non-white, like third world people, which is, I think, your experience.
Whole bunch of dot heads, niggers, and the dregs of psychiatric profession.
Exactly.
Okay, Martin,
yeah.
Denise is in the chat right now. She's on the phone. She's trying to call in.
Oh, I'm just listening. Hi, everybody.
Hi, Denise.
Hi.
Oh, my God.
It's so great to talk to everybody.
Yes,
oh, my goodness.
Oh, my God. Yes, that's awesome.
Years ago. Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
Oh, my God. I want to tell you, I've got my pollen is, I have allergies, and my pollen is horrible. So I sound horrible right now. So please forgive me.
Don't worry about it.
I guess it's fun to be on the internet on a radio show. I mean, I've done it for about 800 times on TalkShoe. The reason I like TalkShoe is it allows people to be anonymous when they call in. What happens, I was the very first person ever banned from TalkShoe, just like me and this guy named Alex Curtis was the very first ones banned from GeoCities way back in October 1997. And, this show will be reported by some pissers, pedo packy possums, more likely, and tomorrow, more likely, it will be gone, which is why I save a copy of it, as non-member on MP3, just in case it doesn't get recorded. But it's always best to go ahead and go here. And this is about the 13th or 14th time that the Movement Turd has been taken down. And, no, they definitely have something, you know, it's owned by some Kazakhstani faggots who really are just, you know,
well, that, yeah,
you know,
that's what I was assuming, right, if you get banned from it. It's unbelievable.
It is, you know, what happens is that right now I'm having to undergo a whole bunch of trials in Newton County, Missouri, for insulting or ridiculing the crooked Granby City Council and its crooked mayor. Got two charges. So much for the First Amendment to the Bill of Goods. And then, a month or so ago, I got a bogus restraining order because I called these two fat bitches at City Hall. I called them fat hogs. So then what I'm doing I'm suing them for Sunshine Act violations, and they're guilty as hell. So what happens is that there's four lawsuits against me, and I got two lawsuits against them as a result of the Sunshine Act. It gives me standing to sue, so now I'm suing the evil Mongol judge that
Martin, you're suing Brian Rio too, right? Like Kyle Bristow.
Brian Rio, he's a crazed homosexual Mongol who used to be known as Sword Brethren, who was, and this is why I wonder about why are you making a big deal about Dickie Spencer? I mean, the character is 182, and here he was, he was part of the, you know, Foundation for the Marketplace of Ideas, which what they were doing is that they were using it to sue these universities for letting, for not letting old Dickie, bring it about, like in Gainesville, they spent, $500,000, $600,000
for
about 20 retards to go ahead and listen, 600 pigs, about 1,000 Antifa, and now it's going back like last Like last month, you had old Jeff Poop Scoop, who he had less than two dozen of his tars. They load up here. They load up here.
And I was questioning because Kyle Bristow just like totally dropped out of essentially everything.
What happens is Brian Rio was his law clerk.
Yeah, that's the thing. I was like, oh my God, we have to talk to Linford about this. He's got to know like the details of these people.
Oh, I know. Oh, yeah, God. I do know. What happens is that two years ago, Brian Rio was putting a bogus stalking charge against me. And he got a bogus stalking charge 900 miles away.
Oh, my God.
He was all mad because I found out, you know, he decided he was going to sue me in the Mentor Municipal Court as well. How the hell does Mentor, Ohio, have jurisdiction over me calling him a homosexual mongrel 900 miles away? Different time zone. Answer, it doesn't.
Right.
Anyway,
oh
they kicked it up to Lake County, and what happens, Brian Rio has a total of, quote, 52 official lawsuits. And he has sued the National Rifle Association. He has sued Arbitron. He has.
Oh, so they're like nuisance suits. Oh, that's terrible.
Huh?
Okay. They're like nuisance suits. Isn't that what they're called? Right.
What they are is that they're supposedly somebody calls from, essentially does a robocall, and now he's suing under federal or whatever state law. Well, what they did is they used to go ahead and bring it because, hey, how in the world. The character is 52 freaking lawsuits. You know, well, that's how it's ended here. Now the only lawsuits that are left are my lawsuits because, hey, okay, Major Lips, you want a lawsuit? I go ahead and I countersue you. And he had sued me in federal court for $10.75 million. So then I sued Bale Stank and about 40 other, you know, Brian Reels cards. And, since the federal judge didn't want to handle that circus. So then it went. He ran up to Lake County, and I was number 27. Then later on, he's suing Roxy and my church. So here's the so-called foundation for the marketplace of ideas, as I call it, the Zogmont Poverty Law Center, and they're talking about how they want to help people have constitutional rights. Well, then, you know, what is this? Brian Rio is Al Bristol's law clerk, and it's Rio versus the Church of Jesus Christ Christian Heritage Nation of Missouri. You know, 16CV000825. How the hell is that happening?
Well, because and my right. Mm.
So what I've done is that I have asked that old Brett Klinkowski was also on the board, and who's Brian Rio's buddy here, and Kyle Bristow have their law license pulled for abuse of legal process, malicious prosecution, yes. And I'm countersuing Brian Rio. And, you know, pretty well I got it to where, you know, the seventh time might be when we have it on June 12th, 2018. But I'm asking that Kyle Bristow be disbarred. I'm asking Brett Klinkowski be disbarred for abuse of legal process and malicious prosecution. What happens is around the 1st of March, here is a whole bunch of nasty crap, from the Detroit Free Press. And they're mad because, 2-3 years ago, some nigger goes ahead and says that Tom Robb is a Klansman and, James Edwards is having him on. He's Klan friendly. Well, hey, that was true. But the nigger
it was some nigger from the Free Press. I remember Chris. Well, Chris is from Michigan. He's from around Detroit. Actually, we probably live probably pretty close to one another. But yeah, I remember that. When he was.
It was a total bogus lawsuit, and from what I gather, they went ahead and filed this stuff. Matt Heimbach, or as I call him, Matt Scheinbach. I think he's a obvious mongrel. What happens is here he is in March 2016, and he gets on the internet. He's pushing this fat Nigerian nigger bitch. He goes ahead and pushes her, and then here's an old Korean War veteran named Alan Bamberger. He's really pushing the bitch around here. You know, Matthew Scheinbach's this first push. Bamberger does about the next 7, 8, 9, 10 pushes here, and it doesn't show the bitch was running around knocking down Trump signs and essentially being just a big, water buffalo. But anyway, she goes ahead and sues civilly Trump goes, you know, him, a homosexual and lesbian goes ahead and sues Trump because she gets pushed out there. And, you know, essentially, I go ahead and I'm looking at these stupid motions to strike. And that's what Brian Rear would file. He would file these motions to strike because I called him a homosexual mongrel. And, oh, just like with Discovery, I was, you know, the character, he tries to go ahead and have get homosexual favors from people he's stalking here, including this one character named John Britton, who was buddy buddies with for a while. In any case, that's the sort of idiocy in the bowel movement. And I know Chris may not agree with me, but Brad is actually fairly sane compared to most of the critters running around. You know, that's what's scary. But I got banned for 6 months after Dylan Stormer went ahead and gunned down them 9 niggers, and so, you know, essentially he wanted me. And
oh,
said,
yeah.
Brad, as member of the Council of Conservative Citizens, you went ahead and said that niggers, you know, niggers were raping white women. Now, so this character goes in church. Nobody heard him before. He had nigger buddies. He goes ahead and he loads 88 rounds in his, on his 11 magazines here, his Glock 45, and goes ahead and guns down some 89-year-old she boon who has probably never raped a white woman in her life here, and certainly not at the age of 89. So he goes ahead and he guns them all down. And I was saying, look, Brad, you wound this little card up, and now you're running like a pussy away from essentially taking responsibility for this shit. You know what I mean?
Jack Ryan was like crying. Do you guys remember that? It's so ridiculous. Like,
Jackie Boy is a critter who hangs around the movement here. You know, I call him, well, I see a picture of him. I called him Wild E Hybrid Nigger. And what happens? He thinks he's clever. He's a retard. He's begged for me to be banned. I mean, you have all these characters.
He's tried to ban Denise. He's tried to ban me. I mean, Chris, no, everybody knows about Jack. I don't know where he even came from or why. Like, it's ridiculous.
Chicago.
What happened was he showed up there in the early part of 2011. He was actually there after I started posting there, and Denise had already been there for a long time.
Okay.
Jack just shows up out of nowhere, and I guess like William Rome and Matt Parrott and a couple other guys, they were the moderators there. And Jack, he somehow weaseled his way into a moderator position, and then he just started throwing his weight around. And a lot of the better posters around there, they just started drifted away over after a while. That's why that blog is really in the toilet right now.
Yeah, well, he's banned. I mean, he banned me. He banned you. He's banned. I mean, it's crazy.
I'm the only
yeah.
person he hasn't banned yet. Maybe he'll do it after this. But it's like I'm actually trying not to fight with everyone because I've done it. I've seen this for years. People get into these feuds. I've had my own feuds. It's just like I'm trying not to fight, but sometimes you have to stick up to things. I've actually met Brad. We met one time years ago with a mutual friend, and he's a very quiet guy. He spent most of the time talking to my husband. I was like yakking up my pal because we used to have really fun adventures. Now I live in a very rural area. You know, I'm a nice, settled lady and all this other stuff. And mainly when I'm posting at night, it's because my poor, hardworking husband is falling asleep. I wanted to get some sleep. But so that's when I do things before I fall asleep. But anyway, as far as that goes, I met him one time. I know I used to go to the council meetings. I had a few interesting conversations with Gordon. My sister is more of a fighter. She likes to fight with people, so she kind of always gets in a feud with people. And it wastes a lot of time. We're not getting anything productive done. So I try not to get banned. I think that Brad is a great writer. I think he's a natural historian. And I think he goes through a lot of changes because think about what it's like to be white in the current year. I mean, we're the only race that has ever had to try to convince our own people to survive. And, you know, like, there's so much infighting just as being a white person.
Well, exactly.
Yeah, we've been subjected to a PSYOPs campaign that's unprecedented in human history. And so it's just really difficult. So I really like Brad. I'm really surprised I haven't been banned because I have made my positions felt and stuff like that. But I don't know. The whole Jackie boy thing, he tried to get me banned when I was fighting with that homosexual pedo rabbi. I will never forget that. That will never be forgiven, ever, ever, ever.
I have to tell you the funniest thing that involves you and Jack, because I was going through the archives. I only started reading, I fell in front a couple months ago. You told him to go in an oven or something, and he's like, I'm going to ban you. I burst out laughing reading this. I was like, here's all the photos. It's so retarded. I thought you, like, it's so funny. Oh, my God.
See, I use the oven meme all the time because, number one, it never happened. I've had people tell me, you shouldn't use that because you're just between the two lies. And it's like, no, it's absolutely ridiculous. And, yes, I'm going to throw their crap back in their faces. Like, even the kikes on Gab, I've been on Gab, and I like to troll the welcome, you know, introduce yourself.
Oh, yeah,
and put all this network stuff. And stuff, and so I was fighting with some stupid bitch tonight. Now, I just blocked her because she's boring, but because if they won't actually address the subject and just say, she basically said, you're stupid, you're big stupid.
Oh, what's the MAGA people? Yeah, you can't even, like, talk to them because it's like, that's what it's called.
Yeah, and it's like, because she asked me, you convinced me that the Holocaust was a lie. And I'm like, I don't need to convince you of anything. There's tons of research. Look it up yourself.
Yeah.
And so that's when she's like, you're just stupid. And it's like, you're not worth my time. You're not an interesting person to spar with. But I use the oven thing all the time because I actually think it's funny, because that's the thing years ago, because I've been on stuff for years, the whole, like, hole hugs, stick them in the oven thing, that's what really did it for me. When I found out the amount of fuel and time it takes to burn a human body. It's absolutely ridiculous, and if people would actually research that, I was, like, screaming when a friend of mine told me about this. I was, like, screaming on the phone, do you know how much fuel it takes? They'd still be burning the bodies. And so that's what really led me into so-called, I don't call it Holocaust revisionism. I call it Holocaust facts. You know, I'm a hall of hoax facts. So that's what really set me off. So that's why I use the oven thing all the time, because it's so ridiculous. And Jack is just, he said he has Jew pals and Jews in his family. I don't think he's really a Jew himself, but he could be biologically. But he likes to think of himself as a political activist. And once in a blue moon, he comes up with a good idea. But I know Brad keeps him around because Brad goes off and does all kinds of things. Apparently, he's writing a book and he's doing research right now. And that's his actual natural role in his place in the world. He's a great historian, a great writer, and that's what he really needs to focus on. Because I and my sister and other cohorts have basically decided, well, the whole thing that happened with Heimbach, which is a tragedy, okay, and it's a disaster and a tragedy.
It's preventable, too.
Well, it's awful.
I don't think it was a tragedy. I don't think it was unexpected. I've known these people. I've known Brad.
Liz just posted in the chat. She accidentally got kicked off the call. I don't know if she's
Yeah, I
call
did. Sorry about that.
Oh, okay.
Sorry about that.
I was laughing
so hard at something he said, and then, like, my cheek, like, hit the phone.
I've known Brad since after the Christmas coup in 2004 when I went on to the fora. And that was his first major inflow, was kicked off BNN Boat People. And, well, I've been in the movement since just after Waco. I rose up through the militia movement. So pretty well I know about everybody. I pretty well spied on everybody, including Covington. So I made peace with them in 2009. And I don't think it's awful what happened with, Matt. I call them the Mattoid.
He didn't start off that way when he's in college.
I don't know about Kathy Curry if she's ready to release the dick pics of old Pat.
Oh, man.
Oh, God.
Can I, can I tell Denise and Liz about this story?
Sure.
You mind if I tell us? Okay. You know, Kathy Corey is this, evidently she was Matt Parrott's one-time
yes,
girlfriend.
I heard about this. Okay, tell me. Okay.
Okay, yeah. So, you heard about the dick pics, huh?
No, but I heard about Kathy Corey,
okay, well,
the Arab girlfriend,
Yeah, Kathy Corey, the Arab girlfriend. So
yes.
there's a couple guys that used to be in the, or that were remnants of the traditional worker party. They're, like, harassing her on Gab. Now, I locked horns with a couple of them at different periods. So she gets a hold of me via the private messages, and we start chatting, you know, because her last name, like my aunt, her second husband is a guy by the – his last name is Corey, too. He's a Lebanese Maronite
Catholic.
Probably
Maronite, yeah.
Yeah. So we get to chatting, you know. She's not related to anybody in Detroit, but, you know, she starts, you know, just, you know, bombarding me every day with all these messages about Matt Parrott. And, you know, we're chatting. So he's sending me pictures of her phone of, you know, how he's texting her and they're going back and forth. And he's like, sending her pictures of his dick.
Oh, my God.
So she posts the pictures of his dick in the chat. So I archive the pictures, and I give them to Moon Man. Moon Man gives them to a bunch of guys on TRS. So they're just waiting. They're just waiting for Matt. They're waiting for Heimbach to go to court in this summer, and it's going to blow up all over Gab.
I heard that it gets much worse. I'm hearing things from other sources too, and I'm not going to talk about it because I don't want to get involved. I feel like an ass for defending him on Stormfront. You know, but
well,
this whole thing, like, yeah,
well,
I mean,
here's
I do.
The thing. Yeah, but here's the thing about Matt Parrott. He doesn't have a kid. He's on Gab right now saying that.
What?
That he doesn't have a kid at all. She told me.
Well,
she told me that.
What about Brooke's kids? Oh, Matt.
No.
Matt Parrott. Yeah.
Parrott.
It's not his kid.
He's saying that he has an infant daughter. He has no child at all. He said he can't even get his dick up. He says they would start making out. And he's got some severe autism. And he can't even get his dick up. He has to, like, he starts hyperventilating.
This is so insane. Okay.
My sister and I were like, oh, God, when this stuff started coming out, we were like, because I, you know, I'm almost like, I'm going to try to defend the white man. They at least try. They go and fight.
You want to be right.
Yeah, but this, like, I'm hearing stuff, and it's just like, walk away. This is a sinkhole. Walk away. This is a mess.
Well, you're,
and
you
so
want
I'm
to
just,
be, like, magnanimous about it, right? Like, in kind, too. Oh, my God. Yeah. Chris, I can't believe this.
Oh, my God. It's just really, really sad. It's just awful. And then everybody else is supposedly a leader, like, I'll probably get banned if this goes back to Hunter, but everybody's a freaking kike.
Denise, it's really bad because, like, you have these weird people who, like, jump in to, like, they defend these people no matter what. It's bizarre. It's really bizarre. Like, even though, like, they'll defend Richard Spencer even though he's been proven to be a crypto Jew. I mean, it's totally crazy how these people, like, to the day. It's like a personality cult, almost.
Yeah.
It's a cult of weird people.
That's a Jew foster. They foster a personality cult.
Yeah.
It seems like that to you. I've been in the movement. I remember, pretty well five days after Oklahoma City, 2 days after Oklahoma City, I'm sitting in the living room. I went ahead and helped form two militias, one around Southwest Missouri and one in Springfield. And at the very beginning, I tried to go ahead and join a militia, but I couldn't because I wasn't related or long time since I had to form, my own militias. So I got with people who I'm, back for the internet. If you want to see the conspiracy theorists, you go to the Kinko's, to the copy place, and you have all these old geezers copying, news clippings and shit like that here. But anyway, formed two of them 2 days after Oklahoma City. All the survivalist groups were saying, Martin, we're not going to join your militia. I tell them that they're wrong. It turns out that I was wrong. And by 1997, I pulled the plug of what little we had. But, literally 4 or 5 days after Oklahoma City, This character, I think, is a crypto Jew and a libertoon named Thomas Knapp. I call him Judas Knapp for whatever reason. But I got a good reason for calling him. He went ahead and he introduced a character who turned out to be a Missouri Highway Patrolman. So pretty well I have is that you have 6 months maximum. You have 6 months maximum if you're actually making progress like the old kite did before it is just totally infiltrated by Zogbots. And the problem of it is the intelligent ones like Jason Kessler, who are the intelligent ones, who are more likely the Zogbots here.
Yeah, that's too bad.
I go ahead and I look at Andre I call them Andre the Nigger Angling. And look, I go ahead and occasionally laugh at where in the world is Andre the Nigger. And he's hiding, I think, in East Columbus, Ohio, and his daddy and his with his daddy's warehouse is here. You know, I mean, he has Nigeria or wherever. So you go ahead and you look at the character. You ain't going to get a DNA test, but the critter looks like a nigger to me.
Exactly. It's not even white.
Matt Chimbach looked like a Mongol. Mike the Kike Enoch looked like a Jew to me. So I think the critter looks like a Jew because he's a Jew.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
He swears he's Scandinavian. Now, I think he's Norwegian or something.
I'm Scandinavian. He's not, he don't look anything like any of my relatives.
No,
wait,
he doesn't.
Like Pinovich, or however you ever say it.
Isaac Enoch Pinovich. I mean, essentially.
Of course he's a Jew. So, oh, my God, of course.
3 out of 4 names are Jews here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Very few people call themselves Isaac,
Yep.
Pinovich is a Russian Jew name.
He looks like a gulag commander, like one of those people. Look at the pictures of the Bolsheviks. That's what he looks like. It's creepy as fuck.
It's true. I just have to say, I do think he's a brilliant guy. He's very astute at creating arguments and memes, so that would be in his genes if he was a Jew. But the whole Jew wife thing and stuff, I mean, it's just like a total tip-off. And somebody posted, I haven't looked this up with them, but they said, where are the divorce papers? You know, where's the divorce thing going on?
Why should he divorce his Jew wife? He's a Jew himself. Why should he divorce his Jew wife? Who cares? You know what I mean?
For his credibility with the alt-kike movement. And also, I mean, it's just so weird. It's like everybody
I know. That's the bizarre thing. Because and then these people were supposed to just fall in line with these self-designated leaders. I mean, it's retarded. It's absolutely retarded. And it speaks to how low they think our intelligence is.
That's what the personality is all about. You get people caught up in
this
personality, and they get into that, and they don't pay attention to things that are really, really happening. And it's pervasive.
This is something
that I had I remarked to Martin and Fat Kike last time I called in. You know, the Jews they create Nazis where there aren't any. They do this periodically. Every 10 to 15 years, they'll create like a swell of Nazis just kind of out of thin air, and then they'll smash it. And then in the aftermath, they'll cry about it, and they use it as a justification to, continue to be, paranoid. Yeah, to paranoid and wield guilt on people. I mean, it's just a cyclical thing with them. And the alt-right is the latest version of it.
I totally agree.
It's correct. But also tonight, Assyria was attacked again. And
I'm reading about that right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And the Hebes are like saying that they're the victims. This is due to the attack on Israel and stuff. And so it's kind of funny because Ann Coulter named the Jew. Essentially, she basically said, this was Israel. She said it on television. And then Hunter, earlier this week, and not Hunter, when I say Hunter, Tucker Carlson said something on air to one of the idiots he was interviewing. Jim Jones, I think his name is. He's a politician, and he's normal. I think that's what it is. I'm really tired. My allergies are killing me. So it's not the correct name. I apologize. But he's always been really good on immigration, and he started advocating about, Israel and Syria attacks and all this other horse shit, and Tucker called him out on that. And these are the things that's important. So, you know, the perfidy and mayhem of the Jew is starting to be so all-encompassing that it, normies are beginning to notice. Like, I posted stuff in Gab, and I know Gab has been our little Reichen ghetto for a while, but, like, I didn't even use it at first because I was basically busy with other things in real life. But I've started to really use it, and now all these people who've gotten so-called even, like, normies who are banned from Twitter are showing up, but then they're starting to bullshit on Gab. And so, anyway, I posted stuff in the Syria section about, you know, the goddamn kikes, and I'm getting reposted by normies. So it's just a microcosm, but people are starting to see that, you know, this is Israel. It's all Israel, and it's not Syria. It's not Putin. It's Israel. They're the problem, and I don't know. I'm waiting for my husband keeps saying that Tucker is going to get fired, but he's the only thing that's decent on faux news, so I don't think he is. You know, because it's always a question with the Jew, putting out their PR, abusing the goy, or making shekels. And right now,
yeah, pushing controlled opposition to the point where, you know, I just feel like more controlled opposition, and I'm just more pessimistic.
We have so many problems. Look what's happening to the caravan. My husband, before he went to bed, he's asleep in the other room. Anyway, he's a hardworking guy. Before he went to bed, he showed me, like, these orcs crawling over the fences. You know, they're just taunting us. The caravan is just taunting us, and nothing is happening. So,
you know,
and the chaos.
It's so infuriating,
it's chaos.
Every day. I know, it's horrible. It's so terrible.
Well, normies are seeing it, and all the Trump tards are like, now.
I don't,
like,
know if they're connecting the dots, though. I just don't see it.
I do.
Yeah,
I do.
Trump was in.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, Donald Trump was in town just yesterday. He gave some rally out in, I think it was
Clinton
Township.
Oh, yeah, Washington something, yeah.
Yeah. And,
he was in,
you know,
Michigan, and he was like, oh, we're going to bring in all these HB2 visas, and the farmers are going to have their workers.
Yeah, these morons just ate it up. They were just cheering for everything he said, and, you know, that's the most distressing thing.
They ate it up?
Yeah.
They ate it up?
Yes, they did. Yes.
They did.
I can't believe Americans are that stupid.
I know.
I guess
I'm like pulling my
stupid
hair out right now. It's so infuriating to, like, see this. Because it's just like, it's
18 miles east of me is Monet, a.k.a. MexNet. And pretty well, it is, you know, close to half finger. And it's been that way because they had a Tyson chicken plant since the early 70s. Well, actually before the 70s.
Oh, yeah.
And as a result here, you know, Roxy used to live in Monet, and she used to, she and her brothers used to go ahead and chase chickens, which had gotten loose here and sell them for a quarter or whatever, and they'd have chicken dinner every Sunday, you know, free from, you know, the ones that got loose. But, you know, no, it just, literally, they have beaners who are so illegal, they don't have a green card, they don't have any card at all, and they cater to them at, you know, MexNet. And so, as a result, it's just you know, the country is just loaded with beaners, and that's the way it is all across northwest to central Arkansas. Every single town has a Tyson's chicken plant.
It's agribusiness, exactly. It's agribusiness.
They ran out, you know, all the way from Siloam Springs in Oklahoma, you know, through to Springdale, aka Chickendale. And I live, what, you know, McDonald County is where my son-in-law lives in the woods, where really poor people still live, but you'll end up having Walmart millionaires. And then you have 71, you have Bentonville, which is Walmart headquarters, you have Lowell, which is J.B. Hunt headquarters, then you'll have Springdale and Roger, which is, you know Tyson Foods and Cargill. And what happens is that they... You know, I used to, you hear them complain about, oh, how the beaners were making them pay more for taxes and all this sort of thing. And I said, look, if they were serious, they would make J.B. Hunt set up a barracks, and every 60 or 90 days they'd bring in new beaners that they would never have anchor babies, or it doesn't really matter whether they do it or not, they're here to pull chicken guts. essentially make Tyson Foods, make all these companies pay, you know, pay rather than, you know, overload the social services, overload the schools and the rest.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Neosho, you know, used to have a Tyson's plant, and there would be always be some person on the, you know, on the city council, sometimes two, to make sure that they wouldn't have to pay for all the congealed chicken fat which was clogging up the sewers. You know what I mean? And that, that is just simply that the farmers and the rest here in Idaho, the Mormon farmers are the biggest lovers of beaners because they use the cheap beaner labor to essentially bring in their cherries, bring in their whatever. Okay? So, you know, same way with Nebraska. They decided they were going to crack down about 25 years ago on all the beaners. And Iowa beef processors and the rest here, when they crack down, oh, no, don't do it. So what they do is what they used to do is that they would wait till, 2 weeks. They pay the beaners every 2 weeks, and they call the INS and ICE to round up the beaners and send them back to Mexico without their paycheck. You know what I mean? And that was a crooked arrangement that they had over at Berry County, which is a county right next to me. So you've had, and I keep on saying it isn't really a beer problem or a nigger problem or even a Jew problem. It is a wigger problem. And regardless of whether you like it or not, things are not going to change until, well, pretty well, there is a disaster. And believe me, Chris and Danny, I believe there's going to be a great tribulation or a great collapse or whatever. And that's what gets me with Brad Griffin. That's what gets me with Dr. Greg Johnson. I mean, he was pissing and moaning. And one of the listeners is a character who found out his real picture by, you know, doing a hell of a good Google search here. A guy named Eunuch went ahead and did a hell of a Google search of Greg Johnson, and, you know, there's 75,000 Greg Johnsons, you know. A lot of them are PhDs. But how many are teaching Swedenborgian philosophy to a liberal arts school? So guess what? They found a picture. They found a picture of Dr. Greg. And then Rodney Martin was chomping at the bit to out old grinder Greggy. And guess what? I said, look. Yeah. Sooner or later, he's going to get outed. Do you really wish to be known as a character who doxes? I don't have a problem with doxing Brian Rio or anybody else here.
Essentially,
did you listen to Brad Griffin's interview with old, what the hell, Chris Cantwell, this crazed pervert, nitwit, who's a Zogbot? Did you listen to his interview with
Chris,
him?
Chris has left fantastic comments on Chris Cantwell's thing. I cannot stand any of these people. Chris Cantwell is obviously on meth or some sort of stimulant. If you look at his videos, it's so obvious that he's like on some sort of, I don't know what drug it is, but it's like, it's really bizarre.
He's
so
messed
look
up.
At him.
There's homosexual porn pictures of him circulating
around
the internet.
That's exactly
it. I mean, so here you are.
It gets so bad, Denise.
And then Weed Jew Boy goes and, you know, listens to him essentially admit that he's a Zogbot, that he's snitching for Zog. And then Brad Griffin does an interview with him. You know, I listen to stupid crap, and now they're fighting that Brad Griffin has a tape here. And now, you know, the thing that really came up is essentially Brad Griffin has figured out, ta-da, that Weave Kaiken Tontoheimer, that's my name for him, Kaiken Tontoheimer, because he's part Indian, you know, the deal too. You know, is a red nigger Jew boy, you know, not so good Okie from Skokie here. Okay, why, you know, what I've been trying to do is say, look, Brad, you have a blog. You know, you are famous because of your blog. You're not famous because of stupid crap that you put on, you know, Gab. But hey, go ahead and join four of your freaking posts on Gab and put them, you know, put them up here as original one, and have people. I he's sort of phoned it in, and I've known him since December 2004 after the Christmas show. And, you know, I mean, I was talking with him. Is that He has been locked up in the nut house and made cases. I've seen these people, you know, in the nut house, and they cycle. They go ahead. They get 800 milligram. Now the niggers here, they need to be off Haldol and the rest of them because they're violent, dangerous niggers here. You know what I mean? But the stupid wiggers here who are nuts, they go ahead and they get, you know, up to about 800 milligrams of Seroquel, and essentially 1,000 will kill them, but 800 won't phase them. So what they do is that they just crash and burn. They do something really stupid, nutty, and then it's called cycling. And essentially, they use that excuse to then go ahead and cut off the Seroquel, cut off the Depakote, cut off all the mood enhancers here, the second and third generations. So then here he is, you know, he just doesn't know what to do with himself. And then they, you know, after his body is flushed out for a month here, they put him back on the cycle of that. And Brad Griffin reminds me a lot of, you know, these nuts here. When that crazy Jew boy, Aurora, you've seen pictures of him in court, and I said, shit, it looks like Monday morning at Biggs, where, hey, all the nuts here, it's hopeless, and they're all passive, they're all built up.
Pastor, I think that what it is, I mean, Brad actually reminds me of my sister. He's looking for a hero. He called Trump out ages ago, and he saw through him. But I think a lot of people are looking for a hero. They're looking for something real.
Someone to follow. During the election cycle, during the general election cycle, Griffin loved Trump.
I know he did. You were the one who was calling him out.
Oh, my God. I would get banned and deleted. Yeah.
I participated in the whole Trump got emperor thing because I thought at the time he was a good alternative to Hillary, and I still do. I think we'd all be in jail by now. We'd be rounded up and exterminated if Hillary had come in. I think Trump's narcissism, if it works properly, can still be a gift to us because it's all about his ego. He's going to lead people astray, which he's already doing, and everything's dissolving into absolute chaos because Zogworld doesn't work. And so Trump is kind of fulfilling his purpose. I knew he was a shyster because I used to go see him. Well, I didn't see him. I'd go to shows in Atlantic City and stuff a million years ago, and he used to walk around his casinos waving at people. And so I knew he was a blowhard asshole, but I still thought he was, I still think he's better than Hillary. I know that sounds insane, but people were talking about, you know, oh, Hillary would have been better, burn it down. And it's like, no, we'd all be rounded up and in jail. We'd be rounded up. Okay,
That's why I said. I remember I was in that house when I said, please let that damn nigger win. Not over the bitch. Please let the nigger beat the bitch. And the nigger beat the bitch.
Trump is turning out to be a real paper tiger. I mean, he does whatever Ivanka tells him to do, okay? I mean, basically, that's the bait that's used, okay? And she thinks she's going to be the first Jewish president. She thinks she's going to be the first female president. I think things are going to collapse into chaos by that point.
Denise, I would try to leave comments on the blog, Accidental Descent, talking about Trump's Zionist connections, the fact that he only made money through Jewish banking, all of these things, they would get erased as soon as I would comment. And I think Chris had a similar experience.
Chris has been banned for two, 3 years at least.
I got banned. I got banned after that cop shooting in Texas, and I wrote that that little article on my blog.
I post again and again and again. I used to send that before I get banned on Twitter. I used to send that post to the cop sites in the UK, And, like, I mean, I would say this is your fate, and hardly anybody ever responded. One guy in Scotland did, and I'm like, you fucking worthless race traitor. I can't wait. Think of me when the, you know, sand niggers blow you to pieces. I mean, I use that all the time. That is one of the most important things that's ever been written in the history of the world.
Yeah, it's a good blog post, Chris. Yeah, it's good.
You need to write again, Chris, because you're a really talented writer, and I know you're busy with your seedy underworld of gab, which is hilarious. But you need to be a writer because you're really good.
As far as that goes, okay, me and this guy, we kind of started that whole, like, porn empire on Gab, but he's in, like, really bad health now, so he's not posting smut anymore. So the porno mafia, and it was mostly chicks, by the way. People think it's just me posting smut. It's like a bunch of nympho chicks that are posting stuff. And these girls in the, we have other chats, and these girls, they say the raunchiest things. You wouldn't believe it. But I disbanded the porno mafia.
Chris, why do you waste your time? It's so degenerate. Come on, you're so much smarter than that. Why do you waste your time on porn?
I don't have the porn on my computer. Basically, what I do is I steal it, and I put an invisible link, an invisible live link on it, so I can mine Bitcoin every time it gets clicked on. That was the whole.
That was
how it started. But I just
You shouldn't talk about that.
Yeah, I know.
That regards what Brad Griffin said. I would go ahead. I would look. So I'm not sure. I'm not going to probably agree with a lot of what Chris says, but at least it's going to be hilarious and spot on. And yeah. What happens? You know, dang well that for all of Brad. I ain't going to go ahead and go over there. You know that Brad was going clicking there every day, probably two or three times a day. I mean, we all know, essentially Brad reminds me of, I've known him since December 2004, and, oh, heck, the Four Fag Steeds, they know him. Neil Ragno knows him. And I was telling him that he wrote a pretty good article about Brad Griffin in early March before things went downhill big time. And, I've known him, and what happens, Brad, is, Brad, I went ahead and looked up, way back in the day before they had privacy on web pages, I went ahead and looked up his blog. I got his name. He was on Griffin whatever, and then people were telling me that he was actually D.W. Griffin's great-great-grandson, I thought he was from California, not Alabama, not all, But what happens, he claimed to be George Wallace's grandson in early 2005. I mean, so I'd call him Fade the Flake. I'd call him Fade the Bitcher. I mean, I'd give him all sorts of nicknames to old Brad here. And Brad had the very first V. Bolton Jewag. I says, hey, rather than ban me, why don't you go ahead and let me and Trader Glenn Miller fight it out in a rumpus room, and you can call it, you've heard the gulag, you can call it the gulag. Essentially, let me and Taylor Glenn Mills fight it out. And he did go ahead and allow it here. I mean, I'd go ahead and I'd bring two or three Chris Sandini people, and we'd be fighting, Trader Glenn Miller and Will Williams and the rest of them, in the gulag. And what happened, I went ahead and found out later, what happens, they trusted a whole bunch of Mongols and Jews who pretend to be his friends. And what happens, they were allowed to become made moderators. So sometime in 2006, they went ahead and bought on Bluehost, they bought Bilfora.net. And they also had $165. They went ahead and did that. So they went ahead and took his database. They essentially set up their own D4 to where Brad Griffin couldn't go ahead and just take it down whenever they, he used to play that shit. He used to go ahead and just take the form down and listen to everybody scream, especially El Ragno, when he took it down here. I mean, old Brad was just a total a-hole. But then again, they'd have their gloat when he went on a search for pussy here. He'd go to some meter girl in North Carolina. He'd go 500 miles with Daddy Ford Explorer. He went there, and he was cucked out by literally a shit-eating faggot, named Brandon Orr.
Oh, no.
And,
oh, my goodness.
Hell, Well, no, you know, Chris knows all about this here, something like that. And poor Brad, I said, Brad, tell me, hell, if you want a white whore, you can go to Birmingham and she'll do whatever you want for $35, you know, as opposed to a nigger whore who'd do it for $20, you know what I mean? But so you get your thing, Brad. I mean, I know. I used to be a truck driver here, and there's plenty of white lot lizards, if you know how to do it, even Birmingham. He would not listen. He would not listen here. And so his big buddy, and they give him a hard time, is a quarter Jew Michelin called Daryl Bassarab, who lives in eastern Pennsylvania. And I maintain, at least I'm friendly with him. But the thing about it is, they're the spawn of Satan, and they're born evil, and you can never, you never trust them. If you trust a Jew, you're going to get screwed, you know what I mean? Because they're born evil. They're the spawn of Satan.
Yep.
No, that's,
I do,
that's,
I believe
that's
that.
Just it. That's just it. Now, Daryl Bassarab, he went ahead and found stuff I never would have found, like homosexual pictures of Brian Rio on Zucra.com. You know, he went ahead and what happens is that, shoot, I probably wouldn't have known about this Upstanding Citizens, webpage, which was into homosexual porn. I never would have found that without Daryl Bassarab telling me that Brian Rio was impersonating my friend at the time, John Britton, there. You know what I mean? It was left up to me. There's places where, sort of like Mysteries of the Women's Restroom here. I mean, hell. unless you play them on, you're not going to know. You're not going to know what goes on in the women's restroom. You know what I mean?
Oh, God. I found a picture of Brian Rio after you posted that thing about him a few days ago on Brad's blog. I feel like I should call Hunter because, he still uses that name in his blog. But anyway, oh, my goodness, when I found a picture of him, there's still a few that I found. And I'm like, what is that? What species?
It is unibrowed. I think it's a Sephardic Jew of some sort, and he came in with William Fink. And William Fink, go ahead and look at it. He murdered, for some reason, a Puerto Rican sneak thief in 1989. He got away with it at the state level, but the Puerto Rican nigger community, they had a shit fit, so he got condemned. And what he did is that the stupid pig, named Doomers, who he induced to go along with him, who didn't really stomp in the sternum or anything like that, he went and snitched out Doomers, and then he destroyed Doomers' appeals.
Why is the league allowing him to associate? Because,
you whined. Since I got back on, Brad was in a good mood on January 1st. That's the thing. It was a New Year's resolution. You gonna let me? Can you let me back on your blog here? I promise not to go ahead and do too much Dillstorm Roof Fan Club work. You know what I mean? Because that's what they were all mad about me was. I said, look, Brad, you whipped the poor tart up here to get down nine niggers, and you don't want to go ahead and say it's a wonderful thing to shoot down niggers. Denise remembers. I said, look, Brad, essentially just say is that. What Dill Stormwolf did was not the way to go about doing it. And leave it at that here. Don't even comment on him. You know what I mean? Just pretend you don't even know who the character is.
Your commentary used to make me laugh. And, I used to really look forward to your comments because I thought they were so funny and well written. And they were written crazily, crazily. But then, like I said, I always do my own research. I've been doing that since the beginning. And when you write stuff, the research comes up independent of what you're writing. So it's like, I cannot imagine why the league, if Brad catches wind of this, I want Brad to be well. I want the league to do well. But, that guy is kind of scary. Why are they allowing him to participate?
Frank is not a Greek scholar. All the Greeks who speak Greek laugh at him. When he first came up, he was saying the Archangel Michael was Hitler, or Hitler was the Archangel Michael. He'd say all sorts of stupid crap. And what happens is that he was brought in by another character named, same day, Wick the Dick Wickstrom. Went ahead, his daughter, his actual daughter Elizabeth, pulled the plug on the old bastard. That's why he died exactly 5 o'clock here. Here's the deal. Rickson was a total piece of shit, an evil piece of shit. He went ahead, you looked, he convinced this stupid pig farmer to kill a 5-year-old kid and then a 27-year-old farm worker, you know what I mean? And he got away with that shit. Then he ran off with, you know, his fourth or fifth wife was this woman he ran off, and the husband went after him, and he called the FBI and Michigan State Police on him, and the guy got sent to prison for 7 years. He got murdered after 1 year, and now Rick the Dick is doing porno with her here. Rick Dick's a total piece of shit. But there's another character named Mark Downey. He used to be on Storefront, and I've been banned on Storefront. Yeah, I've been banned on Storefront because he ran off with this, I think it was a Jewish wife named Deborah Badinsky Downey. And she was allowed to be the playoff. And in the Klan, women are not allowed to have positions over men. They can have a Klan auxiliary, but women are not allowed to have positions of men. And the Grand Dragon allowed her to be the playoff. So then she ran off the Claude, who was Mark Downey, and I says, "You're not no Klan playoff, you're the Klan Quant." And I gave her the nickname of Quant Downey. She did not like me for that. But that's what, you know, Christian identity, or so I call it C-identity, has more Jews. Probably has more Jews than the overall bowel movement.
And yes, I know that's true. That is true. That is absolutely true.
Yes.
And so Jesus, what a nightmare.
The thing is that Christian identity was at its flowering point probably in 1968 or 1969. When Bertrand Comparé, who was actually the brains or the scholar of it, was working with Wesley Swift, who was the orator, and then Swift that went downhill big time in 1970, and ever since then it's gone downhill. But I wasn't raised in dual seed line Christian identity. I was raised in Herbert Armstrong's Worldwide Church of God. And so as a result, you get a thorough grounding. I got a thorough grounding over 10 years from the age of 10 to the age of 20, and once I got to 20 and I got away from home, I was doing stuff like, so I was eating pork and running around and having a fine old time and then working out and joining the Army. You know what I mean? I was away from it for about 13, 14 years, and now I went back. And then you come in and you have all these characters who believe all sorts of stuff, you know, including reincarnation. So you go ahead and see that, and it's easy to go from British Israelitism to dual seed line Christian identity, because the second portion of it is there's two seed lines, a evil seed line of the Jews from Cain's seduction of Eve through Cain, and there's the good seed line from Adam through to Seth, through to Noah, through to, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Israel. So what happens is that, as a result, I think I'm about the only one who is actually teaching Comparean dual seed line Christian identity. And you have all these characters who show up here. Now, I'm essentially fighting with Billy Roper. Billy Roper is still mad that after Butler died, he was trying to bring this known agent provocateur named Rick Spring and have him beheaded the Aryan Nations. I said, hey, Butler was not head of the above-ground, dual-seed-line Christian identity church. And, I was supporting Morris Gallet at the time, but he got all mad. So now Billy Roper, he believes in evolution.
He believes in what?
He believes in evolution. He believes in Darwinian evolution. I call him a Darwinian seed line, confidential informant here. And
I just want to say what I'm actually going to. I was raised as a traditional, boring Methodist. I mean, really just like going to church when I was a kid. It was all about the ladies wearing their fur coats and the minister, who's great. He held these really obnoxious, egocentric people together. He was a real charmer, and they kept him years after he wanted to retire. But he would go and talk about the Broadway shows he went to and stuff. That was my experience of church. I think I was one of the few people that actually read the Bible when I was a kid. It was just very traditional. And now I hear about all this stuff, but I'm actually getting away from it.
my husband is a very staunch traditional Christian, and he's getting kind of very freaked out because I'm going to heathenism, because I really believe that we need our own gods again. We don't, you know, we need to connect
David
to God
Lane.
For our race.
David What's Lane that? Was trying. David Lane was trying back in the late 90s to get me to become one of his wilderness priests here. And what happens, David Lane and Tom Metzger flirted with Chris Nandanti, and they were actually ministers under Butler. And then Metzger was always an atheist, so he, you know, essentially that's what he still is. And David Lane got into Wardenism. And I tell these people who believe that, I says, well, okay, if you're going to follow Woden, why don't you just simply go and follow the God who was before Woden? And you read in Tacitus to where the Germanic tribes, you know where, you've heard of New Zealand. Do you know what where Old Zealand was?
No.
Okay, Old Zealand was the isle on which, you know, it's the biggest isle in the Baltic, which is essentially where Copenhagen is. And they had, you go ahead and you read about why he is something like that. Well, Woden was about 14th in line after Skeef, who probably lived around the time of Christ, who was found in a boat and all this sort of thing here. I mean, I really did my research. But, you know, Woden lived around 200 A.D. And from what I hear, he's sort of like Romulus. He sort of got around, and his wife was a Lombard, and, you know, got Woden to go ahead and fight the Lombards because the Langobard, you know, he got Woden drunk and essentially said, I'll support whoever has the longest beard. So he had all the women do a comb over and pretend to have a beard or something like that. But so you're all sorts of stories. But essentially, the worship degree, according to Tacitus in, 117 A.D., is that the Germanic tribes worshipped the earth mother god called Nerthius. And later on, Nerthius was known as a hermaphrodite god, at least with the Swedes here. My family comes from southwest Sweden around the Helsingborg, and we're actually West Geats. And some of the Geats here got on three boats and became the Ostrogoths, the Visigoths, and the Gepids, and I'm essentially descended from the Geats and stayed at home. You know what I mean? But in any case, what happens, they used to worship Nerthius, and Nerthius was essentially synonymous with Ishtar, or Eostre. And what happens is every 7 or 9 years, they would load up a ox cart with the knocked up, you know, high priestess, knocked up by the priest, and, a bunch of pregnant heifers, and then they would all sacrifice them. They would all sacrifice them, to Eostre, in this lake, which was on the island of Sealand, which was also called Round My Ear. So essentially, the original, the ancient Germans and Scandinavians, they were like the ancient Babylons. They worshipped god kings. And as long as the god king, could have, the rains come on time or something like that, he did okay. But if he had 3 years of famine caused by no rains, well, they'd slit the god king's throat here and have him talk to his daddy, the sky god. So essentially, that's where in many cases our Adamic people arose here. Essentially, they were worshiping, the local Baal gods or something like that. In the case of Eostre, she was the equivalent of Cybele and Diana and the rest here.
What does Eostre sound like? It sounds like Easter.
Sounds like Easter.
That's where it comes from.
It's Easter.
And
that's where
think about the egg, all the eggs and stuff like that. So as far
that
as
was,
the Semitic desert gods, I mean, they glommed a lot of ancient traditions. And when I first started learning about this stuff, I was offended, because I was raised a traditional Christian, and I'm very attached emotionally to Christianity because of my childhood, you know, how I was raised and stuff like that. And also, sure. I love the music and stuff. But, like, when I first started hearing that, they took all the, the heathen traditions and glommed them on, you know, they just took them over and stuff.
Exactly,
I was horrified.
That's exactly what the Roman Catholic Church did. You have to understand, the Roman Catholic Church is ascended from the Bell cult of Sibylle, where they had castrated priests here who self-castrated themselves. You know, they get all drunk and have an orgy, and then they throw their dick and nuts here, you know, into there. Essentially, if this dick and nuts landed on your doorstep, you had to take care of the bastard here for a year. You know what I mean? And that's where the Roman Catholic Church got their stuff from. In the case of Semiramis, the Babylonians said Nimrod, and said, you know, Nimrod and his wife was essentially a Canaanite bitch called Semiramis, and they had a little son called Tammuz. Well, the Egyptians, they had a similar thing. They had Osiris, who was Nimrod. They had Isis, who was Semiramis, and they had baby Horus, who was, well, the equivalent of Tammuz. And, well, the story was, you know, it depends on traditions. You know, one tradition, that was one thing here in the Book of Jasher. There's another tradition that Shem, who was the middle son of, you know, and that's where the word Semite comes from. You got to understand the Jews are actually Canaanites, and they descended from Ham through this Adamic, you know, Canaanite woman called Naama, and it doesn't help that Noah's wife was also called Naama. You know, before the flood, I guess, it was as common as the name Shirley was in the 1930s here. In case, you have all sorts of stories, and essentially Nimrod, there's another story about aboard the ark here. I don't know if you've seen the they had about 3 years ago, Russell Crowe and Emma Watson here, and their story of Noah or something like that here, and it comes from the Jewish Talmud, and supposedly Og was one of the watchers, and he was killed by Moses on the basin, and he was, what, at least 14 foot tall, taller than Goliath. So you go ahead and you read that, and the Egyptians have Seth, who was, you know, of the Adamic line, killing Osiris, but you have, you know, Shem killing Nimrod, who had stolen the garments of power, thus he had dominion over all the beasts of the field. He had dominion over the nigger beasts of the field, he had dominion over the, you know, the goat beasts of the field. All, you know, the garments of power was made from all the animals. You know, all the animals, essentially, so lions and tigers and bears. So Nimrod, you know, he had the garments of power that were stolen by, you know, by his worthless, you know, grandfather Ham. And there's some belief that Cush was the result of three critters had sex aboard the ark. The dog, the raven, and this piece of shit called Ham. He diddled this Dravidian negress who was aboard the ark, and she gave birth to Cush. And Cush, you know, his father was Nimrod. So when you go ahead and you know, essentially, you know, the story for the Babylonians and the Egyptians is the same. Someone, either Seth in the case or Shem, goes ahead and chops Nimrod into 13 different pieces, and in the Egyptian tale, a jackal eats Nimrod's pecker. In the case of either a crab or a jackal eats Nimrod's pecker, and Isis Osiris goes ahead and makes him a new one out of wood or ivory, here, the missing part, and then she's knocked up here with, you know, essentially Nimrod or Osiris gets reborn again, and the Egyptians and the Babylonians had the same, you know, had the exact same story. And then,
no, it
you know,
is. You're right, but the Egyptian story was older, and so the Hebes stole it because they steal everything. They're like gypsies, and they pervert it, but they degrade everything. I'm learning as much about Egyptology as I can because I think that is the source of our spirituality. Okay, and
read Savitri Devi, Denise. You'll love her. I don't know if you've read anything of her.
I haven't really delved in. I've just touched into her, but I think she's wonderful. So the little
she's
bit that I've
yeah,
had
she, no,
experience.
No, she's read a lot about, she's written a lot about, like, Egyptology and stuff. And
okay, then I should
yeah,
I should
and, like,
get into
the
cult
of the sun and stuff. It's really interesting.
Okay.
Well, I should get into her then. So I should
yeah,
really devote time and... I'm sorry, go ahead.
Chris Sandetti holds that Egypt was unified under Cain / Sargon, you know, and around 3000 B.C. And pretty well you have both the Sumerians and the Egyptians and the Harappans, you know, and not so much the Chinese, but they discovered writing about the same time. And so this was called the Early Bronze Age. And I've told people that, you know, this story of Ramses II, that comes because his son Meremta, you know, went ahead and wrote in 1209 that Egypt's seat or Israel's seat has been destroyed. I believe that the Exodus occurred between 1600 and 1550, you know, during the Hyksos invasion of Egypt. And the western Amorite Canaanites, they went west to Egypt. The eastern ones went east to Babylon, and they conquered Babylon under Hammurabi. And so, you know, pretty well, that's when I think that the Exodus actually occurred. So anyway, so
mm-hmm.
I'm quite a bit, you know, I've gone ahead and studied quite a bit of history. You got to understand is that it's 1,651 years from the expulsion of Adam and Eve from the Garden of Eden to when you go ahead and you add up the begats. It was on Noah's 600th birthday. So you have 1,651 years from when they were expelled to when the flood occurred. And we believe that the, you know, dual seed line believes that the very first dog, Babylon, was in the Tarim Basin, you know, against the Himalaya. You know, essentially it's around where Tibet is. It's in southwest China. And it was this basin, which was 600 miles long, 300 miles wide. It was just simply a local flood. It was very much a local flood. And so, you know, there are people, there are Christians who believe in New Earth creationism that believe that the reason that the dinosaurs are all dead is that Noah didn't have room for on the ark for anything more than a few alligators. You know what I mean? And they believe that stupid crap. Dual seed line doesn't have a problem with saying the universe is 15 billion or 4 billion or however many billion years old. Essentially, the Septuagint holds that Adam was created somewhere between 5500 to 5400 B.C. And the Septuagint was created under Ptolemy II around 250 B.C. And most of the scriptures that you have of Jesus quoting was from that Septuagint, which came into existence 250 years, you know, from Proto-Hebrew. So as a result, you know, I don't really care if people don't believe Atlantis existed in 10,000 B.C., or, you know, I believe that there were, you know, white cavemen, as, you know, I think the earliest Cro-Magnon skulls is of some Ukrainian woman who about 4,300, 500 years B.C. So essentially, the white Cro-Magnons here, cavemen, you know, according to us, they were beasts of the field. This was before Adam was created. Essentially, just call them all six-day beasts of the field. So that it doesn't really matter what they do. You know, it doesn't really matter what they do. People can believe whatever they want. But you got to understand is that history, you know, writing is only about 3,000, you know, essentially 5,000 years old. And you realize that, you know, Ramses II, he came up with a different story about what happened at the Battle of Kadesh here. They were lying like dogs in 1279 B.C. here. You know, if you go ahead and read the newspaper here, they haven't told the truth anymore since. You know what I'm saying? So you've got to understand that history is a rather, you know, made up thing here. What my blog, Granby blog, the Greater Granby Cobb Turpentine says is a lot different than the Newton County fake news, or fake news, as I call it. You know what I mean? Still totally different story about the same facts here. And so history can be interesting,
But on the other hand, you shouldn't really rely on it too much because, well, hey, Ramses was a big liar, and his son, Lorenza, was a big liar, too, here. And, you know, you have all sorts of claims here. And religious claims are the ones you should have the most scoffing about here. You know, critters like William Fink, 2013, he was claiming that Moses knew all about Gilgamesh. And maybe he did, maybe he didn't. But Gilgamesh does not belong in the Bible, contrary to what William Fink says. And this character showed up in 2008, 2009, and here he is making fun of everybody. And then 2010, he's essentially, distanced himself from the British Israelite people. And then in 2009, I went ahead and found out, that Fink was lying to me. I went ahead and found out Brian Reel's real identity. And then I got, about 10, 12 of my web pages taken down all of a sudden. And, I've seen these people, come and go. And just like I was saying now here, look, Brad, you really need to distance yourself from a murderous Jew pig who went ahead and, murderously, no damn good reason, Puerto Rican sneak thief was due to get out. How is he going to benefit? How is William Fink going to benefit you? And the answer is not. You know what I mean? He's trying to go ahead and get in, and, the purpose of my blog was to go ahead and make sure that critter stayed out.
And I think it's hard. You know what I said years ago, because I met a lot of people on Stormfront, okay? Because a lot of people don't even think I'm real, okay? excuse me, just because I write really outrageous stuff for a lot of times, my own edification. What's that? Sorry, honey. But anyway, as far as that goes, what was I saying? Oh, yeah, years ago, I was talking to a friend who has sort of dropped away because this is a loony bin. We live in a massive lunatic asylum. And
exactly.
The white nationalist movement is very lunatic. But I realized, a long time ago that we have to save ourselves. We have to be our own heroes. We have to be our own saviors. And no one's perfect. We all have our own flaws. We all have our doubts. We all make mistakes. And so to realize that we're the ones, because we read about great heroes of the past and really amazing people who did amazing things. But, like, my friend interpreted it that I said, it's like fame freak thing. But, no, it's like we have to be our own saviors. We have to be the heroes, however imperfect we are. And I think Brad, I really like him. I really, really like him. But I think he's still searching. And so I wish he would just come back and write and do what he does, because that's what he does best. And you have to drop away from the lunatics. I mean, there's a lot of lunatics, and obviously, as you all know, you can get caught up in it very easily. And I don't actually blame people for being lunatics, because look at our civilization has been shredded. There's no coherence, there's no support for white people, especially white men. And, no wonder people are crazy and do crazy things. And, there's this constant warfare. We're getting hit on all sides. But we have to save ourselves, and I think Brad isn't quite at that point of realization yet. And so I think we should help him.
That's exactly what I've tried to do, and my comments would get almost immediately deleted and erased. It's almost like the concept of controlled opposition has it's like he's never heard of it or so. It's very bizarre to me. Like Chris is so. I was so happy to, read his blog and, see his criticisms of Occidental Descent because, that essentially his experience, mirrored my own. And I wish that I had known about it prior to finding the blog.
But you know what? Chris started writing his own blog because he got kicked off of Occidental Descent.
I know. I didn't find that till later, though, which is funny.
Sure. The thing
is,
Brad,
all over the place. In the years, he goes all over the place. And
He does. But everybody's on their own journey.
Yeah, well, he makes a lot of, he's made a lot of enemies, Brad Griffin has, because he digs up this, you know, 150-year-old, bad blood between North and South, and it just doesn't exist anymore. But he's trying to keep going. And I don't understand why he did that.
I don't think he is. I don't think he is. I think there's some people on the blog that are more into that, like that one guy from Texas or something.
Yes,
because
yes,
James
yes,
Ellen.
I totally agree.
And it's so stupid.
Well, they're like stoking the fire of like antagonism. It's just it's unnecessary because it draws them into like a sectarian type of like battle, and that doesn't need to happen anymore. We just need to unite as white people.
Oh yeah, you know, four years ago there was this guy on Occidental Descent, this guy called Stone Lifter, and I used to fight with this guy the time. It got to the point where he and I were literally exchanging death threats on a daily basis.
I remember that. Oh my god.
And, yeah. The guy wanted the guy. I gave him my address.
Lived
in my house to kill me. Then he never showed up. And then he says, "Oh well, what, you come to Afghanistan and fight me?" And I'm like, "This guy is ridiculous." He ended up.
I remember.
Yeah. So.
Well, I wish I'd read the blog then. That's really funny.
Yeah, it was.
I used to get into it with them too. Okay, because everybody calls me all kinds of names because I'm basically a Maldi Celt. You know, Celts. We really do like to spout off. When I say Celt, by the way, I want to let you know I'm a Brythonic Celt. There's different types of Celts. I'm essentially Welsh, and we're just like furious little maniacs. We'll go off at we'll just go off over anything. We have really bad tempers, but then it's like a storm that passes and stuff. We love to fight. So I used to fight with him all the time, and he used to get absolutely furious. He wrote the most heinous things to my blog. My point of question blog. He wrote the most heinous things, and I didn't even post most of them because it's like, you're an idiot. If you're spouting off at me that much, you know, like, I blame.
Right. It's like the Jack Ryan thing, like threatening a band. I mean, it's such a ridiculous, like the Stormfront moderators who think, like, because you can't even say nigger on there. I mean, it's like the tiny person with power, you know, it's ridiculous, like.
Well, I think Jack Ryan is a fun tease, is kind of, dare I say it, a punching bag.
I think so, too. I think so, too.
I bet if you write conciliatory stuff, he'll let you back on, and diplomatic, because you have to put things in a diplomatic way.
I think it's just hysterical how you can just, like, set him off, like, easily. I think it's so funny.
Well, you know, I really like him. And, like, when I used to like the Daily Stormer when they were doing those wonderful troll raids. Because anything that makes me laugh. And I love the Luciana Berger thing where Andrew Anglin
that was really funny.
That was hilarious. But then, like, when Daily Stormer went really bad,
did you read that? There was a comment on Brad Griffin's blog that said that he's, like, on not, like, heroin and something mixed. Like, this is Andrew Anglin, and I believe it.
I've heard a number of things about that, and I'll say hearsay things when it's not irrelevant.
Right, and
but
I
when
no
it is relevant,
true,
I, you know,
yeah.
unless I... Yeah, unless I have upfront information, you know, personal information, but I've heard things like that. And you can, I haven't been on that blog in probably a year. I'm not sure when I dropped off of it, but I got really obsessed with what was going on in the forum. And so people, you know, it gets back to me what he writes about and stuff, but you can tell when he's doing something because the spelling is horrendous. It becomes very coherent. You know, that's
a very
thing.
Strange analogies are made. Exactly. Yeah,
yes,
exactly.
Yes. And also the whole, like, woman-hating thing, which has been a chronic element.
He gets intensely... Exactly. That's exactly what I've seen, too. Bizarre.
But they also use the whole thing about thoughts, and it's like, that's nigger speak for that whore over the...
Exactly. I hate that. It's so nigger-like. Exactly. It's disgusting. I mean, not that England's like an Aryan or anything, but, you know, he could at least try to, you know.
There was a guy named Yurik who was in a little bit. He used to do some hilarious things about, you know, the movement TERD. And let me see if I can't find this post here. This was from 2 years ago. Andrew Anglin says boys only, and since it has a bunch of, you know, homosexuals, it has some, you know, some good lesbians kissing each other, it has cross penises. I don't know if you've ever seen that one or not here. Have you?
No, I haven't been on it. Well, you can tell that there were a lot of homos on it, like really, because I was in theater, and you know I went to school for theater and everything and communications, and you're the real rancid, foul, woman-hating verbiage from the true woman-hating demented homosexual was being, that terminology was appearing in the forums. And, yes. And he's letting it get away with it. And also, I know women can be crazy. Women are emotional. That's why the Jews preyed on them. And that's, you know, how they did a lot of their damage. But insulting women wholesale is not an effective PR move. And also, the thing that used to drive me nuts about the DS site is that they talk about how women are sluts, women are tramps. Then they would post these really trampy images of ideal women. You know, like, it's kind of contradictory here.
Well,
and then the whole white Soraya thing.
Let me post in the chat room essentially Eunuch had the picture from the movement Turd, that of Andre, essentially Andre the Niggers thing here. Essentially Daily Spermer of 2015. And it has, and, you know, Andre Anglin Sausage Fest. Daily Stormer Mass Bitchy White Women says Boys Only Bar and Asian Massage Parlor will forge a new manly brotherhood. So essentially it's two homosexual bikers, and then it has two Cambodian lesbians here kissing, and you have old Andre Nigger with a cigarette in his mouth here, and magazine covers here. This was from June 2015. I'll go ahead and put it in Gab so you can go ahead and see it as well.
Yeah, put it in Gab. I can get into
the
chat on the talk
in the,
show.
You can talk. No, I'm sorry.
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
This was three years ago when he was doing that. You know what I mean? June 2015. So he'd done that. I went ahead and put in the Gab blog. I went ahead and put it in the, Talk Shoe chat room. So
another thing they would do in the forum, the forums, I would be like, okay, if you guys are so mad about the thoughts and whatnot, then just go, you know, firebomb a synagogue, do something like that. And they would be like, no, we need to hit women. I mean, they would literally tell me they had to, like, and I'd be like, you guys are retarded.
Yeah.
Like, you're MGTOW losers. Like, don't talk to me.
Yes. Well, I was actually like MGTOWs at first. I was like, why do they want to be MGTOWs? I understand women are infuriating, but MGTOWs, I mean, because my thing is, if you can't handle a woman, how are you going to handle a murderous Jew?
Exactly.
And, or
exactly.
Or something.
Exactly.
And, but
exactly.
Now with the MGTOWs, it's like, go your own way, MGTOWs. They really should go their own way.
I mean, the MGTOWs,
they're
seriously psychological. There's something like seriously wrong with them. I know. I totally agree.
Yes.
I totally agree.
Well, the thing is, normal white men, you know, they have a wife or a girlfriend, they have a mother, they have a daughter or granddaughter, and you realize as women think quite differently than men. But on the other hand, you know, normal men like being around their women. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
you go ahead. And yes, sometimes you girlies can be quite infuriating here. You know what I mean? Quite infuriating. But
mm-hmm.
It gets to where normal white men, white men at least here, get to where they make allowances and they actually like being around women. You know what I mean? And if you have somebody, you have somebody who acts that way, you end up thinking the character is either a homosexual. Or there's something wrong with them. You know what I mean? There's something wrong.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Like psychologically, like, maladapted or something. I mean, because they reinforce it in their little groups and their, you know, they reinforce this like hatred. It's really disturbing. Yeah.
Well, that's one of the most horrible things about that, and most destructive with Anglin, because he's very talented. He is,
yes.
And he's just thrown away with both hands. But he said that he gets a lot of teenagers asking him for advice on how to deal with
girls.
He's
the last person who should be giving anybody any
exactly.
Yeah.
That's
exactly.
So destructive.
Andrew Anglin is self-loathing. And that's where a lot of his anger towards women comes from, the fact
that he hates himself. He's not even white. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, he's not even white. That's a made one. I've been banned from Stormfront. I've been banned from Linder's Tart Corral since after the Christmas school 2004. I've been banned from Stormfront since 2003. And I have been banned, essentially. I got banned, three, 4 years ago. I posted a picture of this National Geographic. It looked like a National Geographic picture. You know, where you end up having these African women here with the bear titties here, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
It looked
yeah.
like it was taken in 1953. Well, here's how Andre the Nigger, gloating over a 13-year-old Ethiopian cone nigglet with, you know, tusks in their nose and all their, you know, all that and shit. I call it Ethiopian cone chitase. And here's Andre the Nigger said he was busting after that. So I went and posted the picture. Here is that Andre the Nigger Anglin is lusting after his great grandma. And I got bad from my Daily Spermer for that picture here. You know what I mean?
But you know what? But did that video of him in Indonesia in the mall with that little giggling girl?
Oh my God!
It's like, what's in that DNA pile there? What is it? Because that ain't white.
I know. Oh my God.
And that's what he's like, when he said that thing. Did you guys read that Cantwell exchange, that Cantwell post with him? And he's like, oh, I'm 94% European. Well, I wanted people to ask, what's the other 6%? Because that's a lot of DNA. 6% is a lot.
You know what? I think a lot of them are faking it. There's no way. I mean, Mike Enoch, or however you say his name, claims he's European, too. He's not. I mean, there's no way. There's absolutely no way.
He looks like a Jew. I mean, who are you going to believe? The Jew boy or your lying eyes? You know what I mean? Same way. Years ago,
when I first found Stormfront, I know a guy who's, everybody has their ups and downs. This is a crazy world. But anyway, like there was a thread, this is years ago, where they were talking about who's the Jew, of course, and how do you identify a Jew. And I remember they posted pictures of three blonde guys. And it's like, which one is the Jew? I was looking at it, and I'm like, oh, wow. The one guy was kind of obvious because of his, like, facial features, even though he had blonde hair. But the other two I wasn't sure about, and that sort of set me off. And then I had a friend who's absolutely brilliant, and he had his own, like I said, he's the guy that's had his own ups and downs, and he would point out facial features. He started teaching me because he could tell you your DNA by pretty much a glance, and he was really on target if you study the family histories. And so that's where you have to really look at facial structure more than anything. And
Exactly.
That tells you so much. And then also the genealogy and stuff like that. Like, and if you know your family history, that's really important. And my family
like how to tell
is basically
Ashkenazi versus Sephardic, and like all the different. Exactly. That's really important.
But even among other whites, you know what I mean? Like Paul Newman, okay, the actor Paul Newman, and Scarlett Johansson. She's mainly Swedish, okay, but she's got Ashkenazi Jew in her, and Paul Newman was a Lithuanian Jew. He's only got a very tiny, tiny percentage of Jew in him, but I don't even know if he's still alive, but it still shows. It still shows. And so that's why you have to kind of know your ancestry, too, because my family were basically yeomen and, you know, just like coal miners mm-hmm. and farmers and stuff like that. And Jews did not marry into that milieu. They were not interested in being a coal miner. Okay.
Right.
They went up and stuff like that. But we've traced our ancestry back on one side pretty far. I would actually have to go to Cornwall at this point to go back further and go through the church records and stuff like that, but there's no trace of it, but I'm like a Celt. And so I kind of know that instinctively, and if you see, I should send people what I actually look like Chris. We've been talking for a while, but I just look like a potato or a turnip. There's nothing extraordinary. If you look at Welsh people, there's nothing extraordinary about, you know, we're just like, we have the fairy eyes and we're kind of fair to middling short and stuff like that, but we recognize each other when we see each other. I don't know how else to explain it. Am I babbling? Does that make sense?
No, the Welsh were, what happens is that the Angles and the Saxons and the Jutes, when they invaded England, essentially, mm-hmm. they called the original Romano British population, which you had Celts come in, and Celt mm-hmm. used to be a term for essentially a culture, like mm-hmm. a team culture, and then they went and pretty well the Romans and Greeks called them Celtoi, and mm-hmm. so that was their name. So it literally a you would have migrations, just like with the Israelites.
Yep.
You had migrations all over the place. Essentially, a Gaul when he was in France, he was known as a Gaul. But the same person mm-hmm. who would, in some cases, like the Gold of Tolusia, around what 100 or so BC under Gaius Marius here. Not under Gaius Marius. Essentially, here were these Gauls, and they were taking their gold to go to Asia Minor, where they would then, the same critter would be, the same man would be known as a Galatian, as opposed
yep, exactly.
to a Gaul.
Exactly, and Gallic, French, and also, like, years ago when I was working, I have a background in healthcare, and I was working in a healthcare setting, and so I had one of my coworkers was a Basque Spaniard, and so they're Celts, and we never met
what?
Before. We had, to our knowledge, no family connections, but we could have been cousins or brother and sister, and we also had like a lot in common. And other coworkers, they're kind of jealous. We were talking about all kinds of things because we're interested in all like architecture and history and politics. And he was a Spaniard or a Basque. He was from the Basque region, and he was a total Celt.
Denise, I think the migration patterns. I think that it may be Basque. I'm not really sure exactly where from that region they migrated to like over. To, I don't know if it's Wales or where exactly, you're
mm-hmm.
totally on point about this. Yes, I remember reading
yep.
something about it. I can't think about it now, but yes, you're totally right.
Yes,
the
earliest inhabitants of the British Isles were actually from the Iberian Peninsula. That's at least that's what a lot of people believe.
Yeah.
Well, you know
exactly.
what? I go on to I like to troll at YouTube, and they have those 23andMe sites, and you should never use 23andMe. It's the worst.
No,
word.
Never. I know. Exactly. You're right.
Yeah, because of the ownership and what they do with your DNA and stuff like that. But anyway, I tell people, everybody's like, well, I'm from the Iberian Peninsula, so that means I'm Spanish. And it's like, no, it doesn't mean that. I'll try to tell them what it means. It's like, because it's typically Jewish. It shifts and swerves and subverts your
yeah.
real genetic ancestry. You know,
people are
and,
so confused, too, nowadays because of, like, the 23andMe and, like, the Jewish connection, and I know how they're putting in
yep.
African ancestry into everybody's thing, and it's, like, just subversion.
Yep.
Exactly. You're right.
And I've written extensive things. People don't write back because I think they get freaked out about it because they don't really understand it because I'm trying to explain the genetics, not,
yes.
you know, like, not the bullshit that they're fucking your head with. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so
exactly.
it's really important to know about that. It's and
yeah.
even in, like, Northern Africa, because they were trying to scam, and they still are trying to scam all the actual legitimate white people in the so-called United Kingdom about how there's, you know,
oh, yeah, the
and there's Africans
thing.
And stuff.
Yeah,
and it's like, there was a Celtic community in northern Africa, because you have to look at, you know, the actual geography. Look at a map. You know,
and the migration
the relationship. Yeah, exactly. And there was something when the Roman Empire was falling apart. I can't remember the guy's name. I'm trying to track it down. But he was like a Celtic leader, and
December,
he led a tribe people. He what's that?
December what? 31st, 406 A.D., where essentially the Vandals and Visigoths both crossed the Rhine in the dead of winter. And essentially the Visigoths stayed in Spain. The Vandals continued on to North Africa.
Okay, that's who it was. Because there was a white colony in North Africa. They were there for like 200 or 300 years. So I maintain that it's not sub-Saharan. Because also, look at that. Look at the Africa itself. There's Northern Africa and there's sub-Saharan. And everybody forgets, they didn't have modern vehicles and planes where you could cross the Saharan desert relatively with ease. I mean, how many bones are in that desert with people trying to get across it? I mean, that was a big factor. That was a big dividing line. And so when you're talking about coal black, Lugum, African, Ooga Booga, and Nigger, that's sub-Saharan, okay?
Yeah.
Well, people don't understand that.
Well, Northern Africa, the Sahara Desert, wasn't always as big as it was. As we, essentially, where did Hannibal get his elephants? He didn't get them from India. He got them from, they were African elephants. They were trained, and they were North African elephants. And as late as 5000 B.C., you didn't have a Sahara Desert. It looked like a savanna, much like places in Kenya and Tanganyika. It was, you know, it wasn't until about 4000 or so when you end up having a climate change to where the Sahara Desert first started here. But you had a whole bunch of poor African wildlife, like elephants, which as late as what? Oh, 143 B.C., there were African elephants that Hannibal was able to capture in northern Africa. You know what I mean?
That's true.
So
that's true.
You had, you know, until, you know, during the Old Kingdom, any Nubian that was found below the first, you know, cataract, and that's Elephantine, but it's also known as Aswan. Essentially, any Nubian found, in front of the first cataract was summarily put to death. It wasn't until later in the New Kingdom that these niggers were allowed to come in, and then around, about 1000 or so B.C., you end up having these Kushites who actually conquered Egypt. And so now Egypt is just mainly niggers. You know what I mean?
I know. Well, that's why I watch these specials or the documentaries about digging up the tombs and stuff, because it's really fascinating to see what they learn, because everything they find, they learn. They have that idiot Egyptian guy who is sort of the head of, I forget his title, Awas or something, and he's the head of cultural affairs in Egypt, and he's like the gatekeeper, and he pretends to be an archaeologist, and if you go into archaeological sites, everybody bitches about him, because when you watch those shows on National Geographic and stuff, they always have white people going in doing the actual work. And then he, you know, swoops in and takes credit, and, you know, he's a big asshole. Well, everybody's waiting for him to die so they can get real research. They can get real research done, but they learn more and more. But people are saying that the modern-day Egyptians are related to the people, the buildings.
Oh, yeah, and it's such a lie, you know, but you can't even, I mean, how can you even speak, you know, truthfully about that when, I mean, they're basically the products of the mongrelization and the degradation, which is why they should have never brought slaves over here, obviously, as we know, you know, now know, but since I can't believe Brad tries to, like, you know, slavery, I mean, obviously slavery is always going to lead to that, like, mongrelization, degradation of
That's why I'd tell from that house, you know, these dothead psychiatrists, nigger psychiatrists, or something like that, and I'd say, schizophrenia is caused by Peter Duncan. And they say, who's Peter Duncan? I said, you understand, Peter Duncan ain't a who, it's a what. You know what I mean? And that's, you know, that's you know, that's what you get. Peter Duncan, I mean, essentially Duncan Peter, anyway, and that's what I've said, is that in many cases, once you end up having these creatures around, there's going to be, you know, there's going to be race mixing. I was running around in Grammy, and here's this Nigerian, and he has it made, and he's found him a fat skank, you know, I'm going to see those skank here, and now he lives in Grammy, and I said, shit, I've never seen so damn many niggers in Grammy. Usually, these are the only niggers who are here. They're usually well-behaved because they're 50 or 60, and they are fleeing from places like Baltimore, Chicago, or whatever.
I know, it's just a racial nightmare. This country is just going to get worse. I don't even know what's going to be terrible.
We're just going to disintegrate into God knows what. And it's going to get, and it's coming. It's coming. I mean, because Trump's letting this whole, people are saying that Enoch did say Pianovich and stuff, because he's very accurate, he's very intelligent about a lot of things, but he said this caravan is a shit test. And, you know, is Trump going to do anything about him? Because what they should be doing is shooting them, okay?
Exactly.
As a lesson to the world.
Right.
What's,
the problem is already
not
so advanced. It's already so advanced,
just,
though, Denise.
Yeah, and also other people have been coming in all along. And so, you know, it's full of shit, so it's going to go into absolute chaos. Now, we just have to do the best that we can, and we have to be smart about it and not whine and cry and, you know, tear our hair and beat our breasts.
Right,
we're smart.
Have false
but
hope.
That is
what I see most people do.
Yeah, and just, but also you can take advantage. We can take advantage of it, but people don't always understand that. And so, because like the orcs hate each other. You know what
that's
I mean?
True.
They hate each other. And look at, and the whole thing with Kanye and Trump. I wrote this on Brad's blog, and I really like Brad, and I want him to just be well and just right. That's what he needs to do. That's where he will find his comfort and his safe space, so to speak. But as far as that goes, I wrote about, you know, Kanye saying that Trump is so great. It's like the nigger bowing down to the white man. It is. It is.
But in that way, if you get into politics here, you know, usually like the Reform Party, you'll have all these old whiggers, and here is this nigger, and they will bow down to him here, just like, just like happened in Idaho, to where a bunch of stupid Mormons, you know, invaded the Constitution Party, set up a nigger, and then they wouldn't let Edgar Steele run for governor. And
really, I didn't know that.
Oh no, I had a big fight with Jim Giles. This is many times on this show. There's been Jerry Springer moments here. And July 3rd, 2010 was a very interesting moment where Jim Giles essentially admitted how he really felt about Edgar Steele. And then this is a classic in these cards. Essentially, no, this show, I've had this show for over 8 years. It's unscripted, but sometimes we end up having Jerry Springer moments. You know, like this white character pretend to be George Takei, Mr. Gay Sulu or something like that here. And,
yeah.
Well, I mean, I've had usually about an average of, every so often I'll have a Jerry Springer moment here, or Jerry Springer show. In any case.
Hello?
Hello?
I think that, did we lose?
Oh, you know what? You know what happens? He told me last time this happened. Talks to you cuts him off after a certain after the show's been running for a certain amount of time.
He might come back.
Yeah, he might come back in like 5 minutes. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Well, you know what? I'm probably gonna have to go because it's getting like super late.
Yeah, it's super late.
Yeah,
me this
too.
Really fun though.
This is a fascinating conversation, though. And it's so much fun to talk to everybody and everything, because it's really easy. I usually don't stay up this late, but it's really easy to just get caught up in your own day. And Liz, do you mind if I call you Liz, or do you want me to call you Liz?
Oh, no, you can call me Liz. Yeah, I go by Liz.
Okay, yeah. Awesome. Chris and I have spoken before, but it's just fun to talk to you and talk to Pastor Lindstedt, because I want to meet everybody one day in real life. But I think we just, you know, have to just take care
of our own lives right now, and keep connections out there. Keep the feelers out. You know,
that is,
keep up good relationships, and just we're going to be in total chaos.
I know.
I've been the bowel movement for 25 years now, and that's why I was trying to tell Brad. I mean, shoot, you can go ahead and post four times on Gab. Old Chris was saying, as he got his ass handed to him, over at Andre the Nigger's blog and over at Mike the Kike's TRS forum here. He just got his ass handed to him. And, look, Brad, you have a blog. You have a place where you can be safe.
Yeah, exactly.
Why are you chasing after Andre the Nigger and Mike the Kike?
He drama. He loves it. He loves it. I've never seen another guy, a man, enjoy drama as much as he does. It's ridiculous.
Well, you know what, though? That's because he is. Griffin is a Welsh name.
Well, you
learn about the Welsh. They are all over the United States. And, learn about the Welsh in Wales and what they do and how the English regard them and stuff like that. Because when we dig in, and we love to fight. We love to fight. And my sister and I have made a pact where we have to remind ourselves, don't get involved in stupid drama. Stop doing it. Stop taking the bait. Because I love the bait. I love the bait. It's just fun to fight.
But you do it, correctly by, you're right. You call it, controlled opposition and stuff.
Me and Chris were saying is that I've never seen this bowel movement as dead. It's just pretty well. What happens is that Kyle Bristow. What happens is I think isn't it just me who was asking him to disbarred? It was essentially the left wingers who were asking him to disbarred. About a month and a half, and essentially since then it's turned out is that Cameron Faggett here. That's his name, Cameron Paget here. Went ahead and Dickie pulled the very last bogus lawsuit. They got $29,000 as a result of Sam Dixon getting them that money. And then afterwards, they were going after LSU. Anyway, they got $27,000 around January. And from what I gather, here they are, Brian Rio and Brett A. Klimkowski, they are wasting postage stamps. I guess he got the payoff, but maybe he's shorted because then, guess what, Kyle Bristow is not pretending, protecting Dickie against this Charlottesville lawsuit. And the news is Dickie has set up a begathon to go ahead and beg for $45,000 to go ahead and answer this bogus crap coming out of Charlottesville. And pretty well, Jeff Shoup and the League of the South have already signed agreements that they will not show up in Charlottesville with guns anymore. So
I saw that. Oh, my God.
The lawfare is winning. Well, what happens, Kyle Bristow, essentially, I think he got shorted or something like that. He goes ahead, he pulls out on the 3rd, and then the 5th, you end up having a mini Charlottesville, the north here of essentially up in Michigan, I think Ann Arbor or something like that, and Chris probably seen a little bit more of it than I did, but in any case, then you end up having the stupid crap with the two Mattoids, Parrot and Chimebach. And
God, what a mess.
So then, this is a
real trashy show. I didn't want to ask you, who did you say is winning with the lawsuits? You think the government, did you say that?
Oh, they definitely are.
They're doing, see what happens in the case of Brian Leo. I didn't panic here. Okay, nigger lips, you want a lawsuit? We'll have a lawsuit. Fine, we'll have a lawsuit. How do I win the federal one? I just go ahead and add Bail Fink and about 40 other people to a nigger lips lawsuit. And the federal judge says, I don't want this circus. He dismisses it. In the case of this one, Bill Fink is a member. He essentially is one of the people I'm suing, counter-suing, with Brian Rio, and there's only two lawsuits. And how I went ahead and dealt with that is I went ahead and formed a webpage called Brian Rio Lawsuits.xyz, and I go ahead and I put up all his little abusive legal process, at least most of them. And he got handed his ass. He went ahead and he screwed over Starches Tuna and the National Rifle Association, but some critters from New Jersey here went ahead and caught him out. in federal court lying. And Larry Klinkowski nearly lost his law license over that crap. So I'm asking Kyle Bristow be disbarred. I'm asking that Larry Klinkowski be disbarred. And what happens, I think Kyle Bristow, I think he's a homosexual. I think he's essentially Brian Rio.
I want to read his book.
Actually, his brains.
I want to get Bristow's book, but it's like a couple thousand bucks on Amazon. So I want to either
Maybe you can get it. I mean, maybe you could ask, it wasn't that good of a book. It was just simply a revenge book or something like that. It wasn't that good a book. Go ahead and look at it. I've seen $436 if you can get it. I would not pay.
Oh, man.
What happens is in February, I'm going ahead, I'm being sued again by Brian Rio for stalking. And I say, hey, look, can you, Brad Griffin, went ahead and, praise you, this guy here. I have a homosexual mongrel from Mentor, Ohio, who is stalking the shit out of me. Can you go ahead and make that little bastard, because you work in Ohio, make him go ahead and back off? Well, I can't here because Brian Rio is my law clerk. So,
oh, man.
But what happens,
I know you
is
wrote that.
3 months ago, here's Brian Rio. He's trying to go ahead and add stupid stuff here because I said that him and Kyle Bristow were going ass to mouth with each other. You know what I mean? And so you have these critters, and especially this Bristow character. I've gone ahead and read quite a bit of his. I've gone ahead and read his lawsuits, and actually, I think it's Brian Rio who's the brains behind that. Essentially Kyle Bristow. I went ahead and read the motion to strike. But what I'm saying is the bowel movement. This is what I was telling Chris is that the SPLC and the ADL, they need to have a farm team of Nazis who they can run in order to go ahead and get old Jews scared they're going to be put in the oven, something like that. And from my brother, they don't even have a farm team of Zodbots, that they're putting around anymore. And I met Dr. Michael Hill in 1999, and he was yapping about how he'd form a Southern Party, and I've run as a Libertarian, I've run as a Reform Party, I've run as a Republican. Now I can't run, thanks to Glenn Miller, because I'm a, quote, white supremacist. But in any case, I was saying, why don't you just simply take over these dead right-wing parties here, like the Constitution Party? It'd probably cost you about, go ahead and get your ducks in a row, go ahead and get your locals, essentially, instead of spending $15,000 to $20,000 to form a new political party in Missouri, just take over the Constitution or U.S. Taxpayer Party. It'd probably cost you less than $500. So it probably costs you $500, maybe $1,000 to do so. So then once you take it over, essentially I am head of the Newton County Libertarian Party because essentially I run every year for precinct, every 2 years for precinct committeeman. Nobody else runs. I essentially, anybody who I can go ahead and find, to go ahead and who wants to run, you get to run. I don't care. I don't care. You can be a communist. I don't care. And we just go ahead and run against Republicans. And guess what? You can go ahead and form, political parties. And, folks, I'm permanently banned from the Missouri Libertarian Party. And essentially, I went up there. I need to put the YouTube video, but essentially the Republican Party, some tar said, yeah, well, I have an open primary, and me and my stepson, son-in-law walked 14 blocks in the rain, and the executive director said, no way in hell will we allow you to run. Okay, fine. So, there is no actual open primaries in Missouri, thanks to Greg Miller, whatever here. So what happens, you can learn to go ahead and do the, combat, but what I see is I see the movement is deader than any time I've ever seen it since I've been in it. And the other thing is I see, I see Grinder Greg Johnson, I see Brad Griffin, I see them all, Dickie Spencer, they're whining to have Zog give them an ethno state. And I keep on trying to tell them, I think there's going to be 10,000 of them. I just think is that 90% of the Uyghurs will die, and, you know, shit, if Uyghurs are starving to death, they're not going to be wanting to feed niggers and beaners, that's for damn sure. Or Jews.
Well, you know what? So, that's what's going to happen. It's going to go all the way down because I think, I don't even know if we have a white majority anymore.
We definitely don't.
Yeah, I don't think we do. What's going to happen is either white people are going to stop lying to themselves and see, but I don't know if there's enough white people who are going to do it fast enough to just, not even, I'm not talking about going out getting anybody else and, you know, the mayhem and slaughter. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about band together to survive. I don't know if there's enough of us.
I don't think
you
need that either.
I tell people if they want to see a training film here, they ought to watch every episode of The Walking Dead. You know what I mean? I've compared Uyghurs to flesh-eating zombies before. And, you go ahead, and I know Denise is all annoyed since Michael Rooker died, 4 years ago or something like that here. But, I mean, I go ahead, and it's essentially the world of The Walking Dead is not a democracy, it is a warlordcy, to where, pretty much it's a strong man, or strong woman who is leading, essentially, the Uyghurs here. And you go and look, my favorite author is Lotham Starter, and he went ahead and pointed out that 1 in 20 whites, it's only 1 in 20 whites which actually have leadership ability, at all, 1 in 20. And this is paid for very well here because they need foremen, they need whatever to run it. But most of the, quote, leadership, such as it is corrupted. It's essentially bought off by Zog or whatever. At the very end is that literally you're talking about, essentially what I'm saying is that when things fall apart and there is no, I live in the Midwest here where you end up having the corn and soybeans, of course, growing. If you live in Illinois, you live in Michigan, you end up seeing, corn and soybeans. And that's not all that's being produced here. And then you have wheat, in the western portions. But if we're
overrun, and the whole thing about Zog, they still live off of white. They still do, but when they actually are left to their own devices, they're not very functional, not really. If the white population is being diminished, and we pay 87% of the taxes, we pay for everything, but the white population is being diminished, what's left when there's not enough of us to keep paying for everybody?
We can't feed
everybody.
Right.
Well, that's right. And you've had the same thing I pointed out, just like Lawson Starter said. You said civilization is the flowering of the human species. But then goes and points out the civilization, I think his masterpiece was, they revolt against civilization, the mess of the underman. And what I did is I loaded the thing up here via a fax machine and put it up here, essentially because I liked old Kurt Saxon putting it up here. And that, I think, was his, he points out is that most of the time there was in the civilizations. Egypt had, after the old kingdom, they had famine and starvation for about 200 years. And then you had the middle kingdom around 2000 was nothing more than a military, dictatorship to where Amenhotep went ahead and reunified Egypt here. And then the period after that was, during the Hyksos invasion. And you had another interregnum, but you had late Bronze Age collapse around 1200 BC to where you had a Greek Dark Age of 400 years until 800.
That's what we're going into.
And that's what we're going into. You had a Dark Age literally from around 1,000 years. Supposedly, the Dark Ages was from 476 to actually 1492, more or less, here. You know what I mean? And you had that. So what happens, I point out, I believe that the I believe that the Black Death was caused by Yahweh making sure that both bloodlines of the Jews and of the whites was purified, and you know pretty well that this bubonic plague was a special microbe which would go ahead and you know kill the Mongols. But now you know according to my dual seed line belief, I believe there's a great tribulation coming, and it will end with Christ's return. But I point out to those who do not believe that is that you know okay, don't call it great tribulation. Call it a great collapse, call it a great die-off, call it whatever. Because you have 8 billion,
yes.
You know, supposedly humanoids. And I believe when I started this show 8 years ago, I believed that there were 200 million Uyghurs and 120 million Mongols. Now I believe there's only 100 million Uyghurs. I mean, actually what I would say was pure, and that there's 230 million, essentially mystery meats, and you go ahead and look at.
In any case, the natural world is way past the optimal carrying capacity. So
yeah,
exactly, Chris.
It's almost about 2 o'clock in the morning here in Detroit, and I got to be up in a few hours. So,
I am so sorry. Me too.
Yeah, it was really nice talking to everybody. It was nice talking to Denise again. It was nice to meet you, Liz.
Yeah.
Nice talking to you, Martin. And so I'm just gonna call it a night. Okay.
I think I am.
I started the show without too much introduction because hey, I got three callers in here. Hey, hot damn. You know, it's just been getting better. You know what I mean?
I really enjoyed talking to everybody, and thank you for letting me blabber on, and I hope everybody gets some sleep, okay?
I'm not a morning person, and I don't have to file any more litigation at least tomorrow. But I'm so glad y'all call in. I'll go ahead and try to save the show. And essentially all I found over the years is that I've got to go ahead and save it here. There's so much stuff that is there which is no longer there because you know, unless it's put on the Library of Congress, it's gone forever. You understand what I'm saying?
So. Yeah. Well, tell us how it goes tomorrow in the chat room. And thanks again to Chris for making that.
Sweet dreams, everyone.
Yeah.
No. Yes. Have a great night. Take care.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Okay. All right. Everybody take care. All right.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. Okay, folks, we're going to go ahead and take at least a 5 or 10 minute break, and we will be back. I don't know how for much longer, but hey, we'll be back in about 5 or 10 minutes. Hail Victory.
What do you get when you fuck with Jews? A kike with a plan to burst your bubble. That's what you'll get for all your trouble. I'll never fuck with Jews. What do you get when you kill a kike? You do the entire world a great big favor. Don't matter worth a shit as to kike flavor. I'll never fuck with Jews again. Don't tell me what it's all about, 'cause I've been there and I know kike's doubt. Out of those chains that bind you, that is why I'm here to remind you. What do you get when you fuck with Jews? You only get lies and pain and sorrow. So for at least
until tomorrow, I'll never fuck with Jews. Out of those chains that bind you, that is why I'm here to remind you, when you fuck with Jews, you only get lies and pain and sorrow. So for at least until tomorrow, I'll never fuck with Jews again. No, no, I'll never fuck with Jews again. Oy vey, I'll never fuck with Jews. Just a little white boy, albeit meaning some harm. Beats all you never saw, been in trouble with the song since the day he was born. Entering the church, shooting them coons. Someday the needle will get him, cause the song always will. Start the race war, the only way he knows how. That's just a little bit more than the Jews will allow. Just a brave white boy, wouldn't change if he could. Fighting the Zog like an anti-Jew, hate Robin Hood.
Okay, Tards, I am back. Let's see, I'm not quite sure. I've been yakking for, what, 2.5 hours? I think that is enough. I'd like to thank 313 Chris for calling in. I'd like to thank Denise Assault and Goy Goddess for calling in as well. It was quite interesting talking to them. And so, pretty much, you know, I know that a lot of you tards don't like having women on, you know, having women on the show. Me, I think it's, you know, pretty nice. But then again, I mean, most normal white men, like the company of women. Now, we don't like just the company of women, and not to have this happen all the time. But hey, I think this was an interesting show. Essentially, people who either do like Brad Griffin or don't like Brad Griffin was, you know, complained that Brad Griffin wasn't doing what he usually does best, i.e., you know, writing on his blog. And I don't agree with everything Brad Griffin says. In many cases, he acts like a wig retard. This Bible movement has a whole bunch of people thinking they can go ahead and wake up people. Wake up, wiggers. You know, now, folks, you should be woke up now. You should realize that something is wrong. Quite a bit of stuff is wrong. And, you know, really, there isn't much any of us can do about it because, hey, this situation, a long time in coming, is bigger than all of us here. It's sort of like, having the people, the ordinary people of Rome, go ahead and talk about barbarian invasions here and how we think it's, things rough, and how we wish the god emperor, Honorius, will do something about it. And then by the end of the year, somebody's going to lift the gate beams and the barbarians are going to come pouring in and sack Rome for the first time in 800 some years. And there ain't much you can do about it. Not so much they can do about it. Folks, there isn't anything much you can do about what's going to happen to Zog. There ain't much you can do about what's going on in Balboom. I was looking at what is Dickie Spencer here, the little crypto Jew, doing? The one-eighth at least crypto Jew doing? Well, he's begging Tars for money. Maybe Tars are giving him money. I don't know. I guess some, Tars are giving him the money. It don't really matter. What are we going to do about it? We're not going to do anything about it. I urge those of you who listen to take care of yourself. I urge those of you who are listening to look after yourself and look after the members of your family that you wish to keep alive with you as best as possible. There ain't nothing you can do. Now, I don't go ahead and bitch and piss and moan too much about the Zog Emperor Trump, about all that can be said about him, because he's a whole lot better than the evil bitch Hillary. Now, I said that about the damn niggers here. Obongo was better than the evil bitch Hillary. And Trump is better than the nigger. The gay mulatto. The first Kenyan, whatever. Is he going to go ahead and solve all our problems? Hell no, he ain't going to solve any of our problems. I think he's going to make a lot of our problems worse. But sooner or later, there will come an end to all the shit here, and hey, maybe that's what it should be. What I was trying to point out, over the years, in my comment, because this show is about the Bowel Movement, on both these women like Brad Griffin. They do not like the hangers-on like Wiley Hibernigger, a.k.a. Jackie Boy Ryan. Censoring pussy. They only like them. And my answer is that, hey, no reason you should. No reason you should. In any case, I'm going to go ahead and call in tonight because I don't think anybody's going to go ahead and call in. And we already got to call in. And, folks, I do want this show to be saved as soon as possible. So I'm going to go ahead and call in tonight. I'm going to go ahead and say Hail Victory. May Yahweh bless. And good night.
White men clad in black are we, hi, hi, oh, and we'll stamp out the tyranny, hi, hi, oh. White men go, we vote ho, our mystery roof, let the red cock grow. White men go, civil war ho, on the courthouse lawns, let red blood flow. When Adam delved and Eve defend, Kyrie, oh, who was then the ruling man? Kyrie, white men go, we vote ho, on Mr. Chiru, let the red cock crow. Wise men go, civil war ho. On the courthouse lawns, let red blood flow. Four white men, their rifles shoot. The Jews are laid low. On Sogling next week, some bar boots to stamp out Castro. White men go, we vote ho. On the city route, let the red cock crow. White men go, civil war ho. On the courthouse lawns, let red blood flow. The regime must only love its great. Hi-yi-yo-ho. The love of God our only need. Hi-yi-yo-ho. White men go, we vote ho. On the city roof, let the red cock crow. White men go, civil war ho. On the courthouse lawns, let red blood flow. We'll conquer for our cause's right. Hi-yi-yo-ho. Our sons won't have to go and fight. Hi-yi-yo-ho. White men go, we vote ho. On the city route, let the red cock crow. White men go, civil war ho. On the courthouse lawns, let red blood flow.